Christ, our example. It's important that we weigh this, that we understand it, and we lock in to what Christ expects from us. He did provide the way. He set the course. But there are some things that I just felt we should really examine today. You know, Christ, our Father, for the children, He placed a cornerstone in Zion. Okay. That cornerstone is Christ Himself. And giving us the capstone to go by. If you were to have a pyramid and the capstone is now missing from that pyramid, why? Well, Christ is at the right hand of God. But that would be the place of the chief cornerstone. I know most people think it should be down on the ground in the corner of a building. You know, that's the stone where everything comes together. And that stone was Christ. We learn in this second chapter in verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, written long ago, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Why? Because if you believe upon him, you're going to absorb his word, his teachings. You're going to set him as your example. And that example leads you through hard times, bad times. It always brings you out on top. Why? Because you're precious also when you have Christ in you. Verse 7, "Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Do you know what the sad part about this is? Do you know how Christ becomes a stumbling stone primarily? Because people don't know who the true Jesus is. They want to worship Jesus. They want to worship him so bad, they'll take whatever comes along because of false teaching. Basically, that's what we're anchoring this on today. The shepherds that mislead God's sheep. He doesn't like it. It's so simple that he gave us the example to go by and promise blessings. And people turn the other way and wish to be disobedient. You know what happens to those that do follow? Verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Do you wonder why this, how many superpowers are there? Some people say China's a superpower. Not so. It's strong. It's a base nation, basically. But there's only one superpower in these end times, and it's the place God brought most of the children, a lot of the children. Not most, but a lot. And that's why it's blessed. And that's why it is God's peacekeeper, or controller, so to speak, in this world today. It's not an accident. It was promised, a nation blessed of God. And in God we trust, even though many try to disallow that. It's not going to happen because we believe upon him. Now, turn with me to the 15th verse of this chapter. Let's cover it. "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." When you protect your credibility, when you are standing in a community with no faults obvious other than that that is natural, then you stand out. People, if you have God's word and seal in your mind, you're wise enough that people will even come to you and ask advice at times. Why? Because your advice always prevails. It's good advice. And certainly you put to silence ignorance. because you know the truth. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Not using God's blessings he bestows upon you to take advantage of anyone. That freedom that he gives you, knowing you're saved, you're with him. He honors that. Don't ever get on ego trips. Don't ever think, Christ is my example and I follow Christ right in his footsteps. Then pretty soon you'd be thinking you was the Savior, wouldn't you? That's dangerous. That's, you know, that is so close to blasphemy that it hurts. You want to be real careful. Protect your credibility and be humble before God. 17, honor all men and love the brotherhood. Fear God, that's revere him, worship him. Honor the king. In other words, you build people up. Don't tear them down. I don't care if it is a person that's disobedient. You can drop them a word that they might hear, and it might take, and it might change a life. Okay. This doesn't mean you got to let them run over you. Okay? You don't do that. Christ's people are not second-class citizens. We don't take anything off anybody, but we give good advice. And we protect that is ours in a decent way, protecting our credibility. 18, servants. Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. In other words, if you're working for a man for a day's salary, give him a day's work. And even if he isn't of the same belief you are, doesn't matter. You do your part. You set a good example. Fine. You're a Christian. You're a Christ man. And that sets an example. That man, even though he's an unbeliever, do you know what? It isn't long until he will say, I can trust Christians because they're honest. And pretty soon he might wise up and say, well, why don't I be a Christian also? Okay. It's catching. It sets an example. 19, for this is thankworthy. If a man of conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, 20, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. It is his charisma, his gift. It's good. You know, when you can be more mature than someone of the world, that is to say that knows the world, lives in the world, and goes worldly things, you're still setting that example. And when you come forth, and when you set that example, it's noticeable. Do you know why? You're precious. Did we not read? I read it purposely. Precious in the eyes of God. Do you think for one moment he's going to let someone pick on you and get away with it? This is why you know that God knows. Nobody gets away with anything. It may seem like it sometimes when you're short memory, but nobody gets away with anything. This is how you can put ignorant people to silence. Because you're your father's child. You're your father's child. Verse 21. For even here and true were ye called. In other words, God knew he could trust you. Knew you could handle it. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And so it is. You know, this is where you want to be real careful. And I want to teach you something many of you probably already know, but we need to cover it. What does this word example mean? Because pretty soon you can take it wrong and think, he was an example of Savior, and I want to be Savior. Now, you can't be Savior. That spot's already taken. Therefore, this word, hopadramas, example, is very important. It comes from two words, hopa. Do you know what it means? It means beneath, below, inferior. You got it? Are you getting there? And gramos means to write or to graph. That means to teach, to set forth and expand upon what you've been taught by Him. But never forget inferior, beneath Christ. We're all beneath Him. This is where preachers can go bad if they're not real careful. This is why, don't ever call me reverend. You can't reverence me. You reverence God. You want to be real careful, my friend. This word chosen as an example wasn't an accident to show inferior, beneath, below, but at the same time carrying forth the witness. The witness of who? Christ. But don't you ever forget hupa, which is to say inferior to Him. No one should be ashamed of being inferior to God Himself. Christ with Christ being Emmanuel, God with us. And you should recognize that. You know, sometimes you get in the habit of stripping gears. And anytime you strip a gear, that transmission is not going to work all that good in the future. It's not going to do the work it should. And when God chooses you to do a work, and you know something? He has. You might say, well, what is it? Well, for one thing, witnessing against the false Messiah who's going to be on this earth before too long. Well, how's too long? I don't know. Maybe it could be in your lifetime if you are void of accidents, because it's going to be pretty soon. It's going to be in this generation of the fig tree. You have a destiny, but you have to know. Do you know something? I want you to put that shoe on the other foot then, hoopa, beneath. Boy, what a precious place to be is beneath the wing of God. To know that He protects you, that you're His, that He looks over you, even though you're inferior. He loves you, and He cares for you. So, beware the most dangerous thing in the world that Satan was not immune to, pride and ego. Man, did it take him down Primrose Lane, and look how much heartache it has caused, how much trouble. And this one little word, example, in the Greek, when properly translated, keeps you in place. Regardless of who it is or what, protect your credibility. And know God has His hand on you and what you do. And that it sets an example. Why? You're a Christ man. That means Christian. And people go by how you react in your community and in your life. So here we see, we have that example. And He set the course. He made the wake. And you never have to be ashamed of following that course. In knowing then you're in the will of God. 22, who did no sin, speaking of Christ again, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, even when he was delivered up to be crucified and Pontius Pilate said, don't you know what they're trying to do to you? He didn't open his mouth. Didn't whimper, because he was doing this for you. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In other words, he didn't get mad because he knew God would get even. Okay? You can smile at that, okay? God will get even. with anyone that abuses his elect. Now that doesn't mean if somebody steps on your foot and stomps it purposely, decking, okay? You know, do the right thing. But at the same time, when someone cruelly hurts you with words in the name of study religion, keep your cool, okay? You know the scripture, and you know you can be patient. You know he was patient. And that cuts a lot of tall grass of the ignorance when you really plow into his word, letting the word itself do the work. You don't have to. The word will be quite adequate. It changes lives. It's fantastic. It's exciting. 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Bang, just like that. Father, forgive me. It's done. And that change of heart and mind, knowing. Listen carefully, 25. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Returned to who? Christ. Christ, our example. We're the underlings, we're beneath, and that's fine. That's where we should be. And we pay attention to not our word, his word, for he is the word of God. And that word of God plows deep furrows in the minds of people to give them hope, peace of mind, prosperity, and makes them a useful tool to fellow citizens. You know, our Father taught a real good lesson concerning his sheep, and how he wants this taught in Ezekiel chapter 34. I want us to go there. Ezekiel chapter 34. In light of following that example, our example. God reassures us of these things in this chapter, that you can be patient. You can afford to be patient. Hardest thing probably for a human being to do. But when he has his hand on you, he makes it real smooth. Ezekiel 34, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, whose word is this? The Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? I mean, that's what a shepherd's supposed to do. A shepherd, what is a shepherd's duty? To take that flock where there's good pasture. That's why they call him a pastor sometimes. To take them where they can put on weight and be healthy, to eat right, to do right, yourself, your ego. So they're not paying attention to the example, okay? 3, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You strip them right down, even in the wintertime, their cloak that's supposed to keep them warm. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Never get around. And understand, men are as sheep, only it's an example set forth by God, letting us know what shepherds really do to the people. Rip them off! And never give them what they should have in return. What's that? The word of God. For the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but you forced with your cruelty, have ye, with force and with cruelty, have ye ruled them. no-no this and don't do that and do this and divorce these to the back of the church and we just don't want to see you. Okay? Now, that's what some of them say, being ignorant of God's Word. Okay? They make second-class citizens out of certain people that even though they've repented, they sell Christ short, saying he can't forgive sin because he couldn't forgive that. Well, he can. If I didn't believe Christ could forgive all sins except the unforgivable after the false Christ appears, I'd stop teaching him. But he is all-powerful, all full of love and forgiveness. And you've got to believe that from his Word, that he loves the family. And he knows we make mistakes. Do you understand that's why he brought forgiveness forth? Do you understand that's why he died on the cross for our sins? Because he knows we fall short and have problems. He has an ear to you, knowing. So repent and receive that blessed gift that he gives us, is that liberty of freedom. And take care of the brokenhearted. Raise them up. 5. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field where they were scattered, all over the world. And God would later, as he promises, bring them together in that great nation. 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, nations, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search nor seek after them. You do. You're part of it. To help them locate themselves, to know who they are, to know who their Father is, and see that the false shepherd doesn't deceive them, to butcher them spiritually. It's your obligation. You're happy to do it, to plant those seeds in the minds of people. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. You listen up, you shepherds. As I live, saith the Lord God, swearing by himself, surely, because my flock become a prey up my, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Hey, he takes notes. He keeps score. As it is written when we left that great book of Peter, and I think it's the 4th chapter, 27th verse, he says judgment starts at the pulpit. Judgment starts with my shepherds. I'd hate to be in the shoes of someone that didn't teach God's Word. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. They're going to pay for it and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherd feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Deliver them from their mouth. Why? Because if it's a mouth of lies, it's no good. If it's a mouth of false teachings, if it's a mouth that leads someone right into the lap of the Antichrist, that's bad. But we didn't mean bad. That doesn't matter. If you're away from the Word of God, that's bad in itself. I would hate to have to explain that to God someday. Well, everyone else did it. I was just going with the majority. He had the Word. He's going to say, I sent you a letter. I sent you the Word of God. Who were you listening to? Well, I wasn't listening to God. It shows. Okay. So you see how serious this can be when a shepherd forgets. He's the underling. He's beneath. And when you're beneath, you better do what the captain says. You better do what the commanding officer instructs. You can answer for it. Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, that's double emphasis, God swearing by himself, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. He knows where they are. God hadn't lost anything. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. That's to say the day of the heathen, the day of the Gentile. And we're still in it. The Dome of the Rock is still controlled by who it's controlled by. And certainly, it's coming. Father's going together. Father takes care of business. But he has to have a people that's ready. Okay. Because there are cloudy days and there's dark days, but we have a light. And that light is Christ. And he is our example. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Wherever those tribes, the 10 that went over the Caucasus Mountains that settled Europe and later came to this great nation, wherever they are, it's blessed, and that's the place. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Feed on what? The true word of God. You know, we are granted wonderful gifts in this great nation that we have the freedom to broadcast on airways, television, radio, internet, many other places to spread that truth of this great nation and its blessings. Though we have trouble, we still control our gates and we're still blessed of God regardless of what someone might try to take away. God is all powerful. 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. That simply means stay. I'll give them peace. I'll give them an anchor place. By peace, it means a place you'll control. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. He's going to do it. And will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and strong and I will feed them with judgment. God's judgment is always fair. Okay. This is why you want to be real careful when you follow the example and you want to understand that example. We are under, but we still ride and we still grasp. That means we align it. We teach it, the grammar, the Word of God, as it rolls from the pages of the manuscripts, correcting where it needs correcting, in pure and simple fashion, in the simplicity that Christ taught. Don't ever change the Word of God, but remember the Word of God is the manuscripts. Okay. And go from there. You'll be doing a good work. Okay. And 17, and for you, O my flock, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, and between rams and the he-goats. This is the leaders. I know, he says, and I will do the judging. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. You cloud it up and muddy it up for the sheep where they can't even get a good drink of water. Do you understand we're talking about the Word? They cloud it up and confuse it until a common person, God's children, can't understand it. And they'll even teach at times, nobody can understand the book of Revelation. That's just not true. Revelation means to reveal or to make known. And it's so simple a child can understand it. You know, there's one beautiful thing about this ministry. We have children, teens, and below even, that ask questions that are above some. Now, that does that put us on an ego trip? No. No, that's something that we can be real happy about when we're teaching the Word of God. That's what's important. And you know what? They find it interesting. They find it exciting because they know they have a destiny. Do you think God doesn't use children? Let's take some examples. What about David? I mean, a whip of a boy. But he knew the word of God as he was a shepherd of shepherds, a servant of God, that he knew how to take care of the sheep. And he put it all out where it counted. And he told the giant, "My God will destroy you." Out of the mouth of that babe came the word of God that will always give us the victory against the enemy, the heathen hordes. 19, "And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, the scrawny sheep." I'm going to know the difference. I can tell by looking. You know, God doesn't send out beggars, and I hate it when I see... I know how expensive airtime is. And when somebody spends half of the airtime begging instead of teaching God's Word, that's bad. What a waste that time could have been spent teaching God's Word to a people that really need it. But only goes. I would never allow a telethon on this network. Never. But boy, will we teach God's Word. Does that make us better than anyone else? No, it doesn't. It makes us wiser, perhaps, and more obedient. But we can use the blessings. That's fine. We take them, we get them, and we deserve them. That's wonderful. "Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad." You know, animals are terrible when they do this. If they push something that is sick and wounded out, just let it starve. But you know, people do the same thing sometimes. There are certain places, if you don't have the looks and the clothing and this, that, and the other, you'll get shoved out. Won't listen to you. And make it very obvious. That's the saddest of all, is when people have priorities in people. God is not a respecter of persons, meaning he doesn't respect one person over another because of what they have or don't have. It's because of their heart, their being. "Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle." That judgment is coming. "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David." He shall feed them, and he shall be your shepherd. Of course, this speaks to that seed and the key of David that unlocks doors and no man can close them, and opens rather, and no man shuts, and no man can open. The truth will stand. And from him came that truth. This is why Jesus would say, out of the mouth of babes, and he was talking about what came out of the mouth of that babe, little David, on the battlefield that day, when all Israel was trembling in their boots. And forward steps this little teenager. And boy, does he put that giant down. "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them." I, the Lord, have spoken it. David will have a special place in the millennium. But Christ will have that throne. And God's elect, as it is written in the millennium chapters of this same book, Ezekiel, are gathered right at his feet around him. I mean, God's elect. They're not given an allotment of land, but they're around the prince himself. Because why? They did work here and they will there. and I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. It'll be safe everywhere at that time. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. And there he is. We're in that time of the showers of blessings. I knew William Blessings of Denver, Colorado when I was a young student. He was a good teacher in his day. And like all, you know, when they did not have the advantage of seeing things come to pass as we have in this generation. But boy, could they teach back then, okay, for what they were. Was he my mentor? No. But I liked him. And this was his slogan. He took this scripture, the showers of blessings. And of course, his name was Blessing. So, oh, well. 27, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that that serve themselves of them. He's going to take it down. I'm going to skip all the way down to the last verse, okay? Listen carefully so you know what we've been talking about. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, God speaking, are men, not sheep, men, human beings, men and women and children. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. And he meant it. It's good to use the analogy of sheep. That's the way he sets an example. And that way you can amplify and see and understand. Beloved, false teaching is a dangerous thing. False shepherds are they stand in a very precarious place. I would not want to fill their shoes. Always do your homework. Know that you're right. I mean, study, study, study. If you decide to be a shepherd, is what I'm saying, okay? And even when you pass witness, never be afraid to witness, but always check it out, okay? Do you know something? You're responsible. That's what he's saying. You're under. And just the fact that you humble yourself before Almighty God, then he opens your mind to hear truth. Turn with me in closing to Matthew chapter 22. I'm sorry, I want to go to John 13. Change my mind. Do you know the reason I changed my mind? I got back here and read my note. And it says John 13. Doesn't say Matthew 22. You know, in Jesus' time, people wore sandals, okay? They didn't have closed leather shoes like we do, basically. They were open-toed sandals with just a strap here and a strap there. And they didn't have all that much blacktop. Maybe they were blessed, okay, or concrete. Their paths were dirt. And when you walked on them all day, as we used to say in Oklahoma, your feet get dusty. Do you know what rusty means? That means dirty. They really get dirty. And like Oklahoma kids go barefooted in the summer. We used to go barefooted in the summertime. You know, you put your shoes away. And the bottoms of your old feet, it gets so hard it just break thorns. You know. But anyway, you got dirt on you. And Christ used this example, the fact that if you live in this world, in these flesh bodies, you're going to get dirt on you. It's going to happen, and you've got to know how to get that dirt off, okay? Spiritually speaking, let's cover it. Verse 12 of John 13. So after he had washed their feet, Christ washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know you what I have done to you? Do you understand what I've done? He took away the dirt. You got it? You know that only Christ can do that? That's why he paid that price on the cross. So that when you repent, that dirt can disappear. You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. There's no question about that. He's the top. Okay. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, you are to help. You are to take this as underlings, I'm going to add, and build each other up. Help one another. Be a blessing to a brother that's lost. For I have given you an example. There's the word, example. He sets it. That ye should do as I have done to you. This example is a little different than wrath or writing. It means a doing. Underlings doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Why? Because he was Emmanuel, God with us. We're not greater than the Lord. Don't ever forget that. That's what the word example means there. If you forget that, you might raise yourself up and take a high seat you're not deserving of. And God doesn't approve of that at all. Okay. And do you know the very simple reason for it? If a person ever gets on an ego trip, they kind of go nuts and begin to take advantage. And they begin to take advantage of the sheep and use them. This is one reason you probably heard me, well, I probably won't go there, but I don't like to see people that are senior citizens on fixed incomes ripped off. Won't stand for it. Okay. And some shepherds have a bad habit of this. They need to be put in their place. Nothing wrong with that. 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Act upon it. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. I speak not of ye all. Listen carefully. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. It always will be, beloved. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Psalms 41:9 will tell you that. And Genesis 3:15 even will tell you about lifting the heel up. What? First prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thy seed, the serpent, and the woman's seed. You will bruise his heel, nailed to the cross by them. But he will crush your head. And so he will. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And so it is. There is the example that we have in following our Lord and Savior. And it is beautiful that H-U-P-O, underneath, inferior, but apart. Okay. That's beautiful. You know, if some don't like that description, there's something for that could be bad. That'd be to be under Satan. Inferior to Satan and following that pattern. Okay. But that's not you. You seek that is true and that is blessed. And that's to say the Word of God. And our Father blesses those that follow Him. Get dirty feet in this world when you live today. You're going to brush into sin. You're going to see it. It's going to happen. Okay? It's just there. Then that's what the spiritual foot washing is about. There are some churches that even do this out there. Whoever got my feet would be lost. It'd be a bad deal. Big. You know, a lot of paper towels on the... I shouldn't be doing that, okay? But we get this sin in the world. And He cleanses you. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of being under Him. It's wonderful. So, watch the ego and plant seeds. Be a good servant of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Father, bless each and every one here and let them always be a blessing to those they come in contact with. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.